The New Testament reading is taken from Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 11. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equally with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and in every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The Word of God.
Paul is speaking to one of his favorite communities. I think he loved all of his churches deeply. But the Philippians, at least in this letter, seem to not be causing Paul the grief that the Corinthians or the Galatians seem to have been causing Paul. Not that Paul was making differences and playing favorites, but he had to speak with firm and insistent tones with both the Corinthian church and the Galatian church. They were churches with problems. They were churches that were in danger of falling away from the faith. There was trouble being caused by others. Not in Philippi. The church was on a good path, was faithful, was doing what they were supposed to be doing, and had been doing what they were supposed to be doing. And so Paul's intent and purpose in writing to the Philippians is not to correct, but to encourage. And it is interesting that the most profound words that are involved in this letter, to me, are the ones that say, "Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus." This must bring us up short. Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Nothing about feelings, nothing about perfection and blamelessness before the law. Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Let suggests to us that we have a choice. We have a choice about what kind of attitude we're going to take on in life. We have a choice about what we think. We have a choice about what we believe. We have a choice to make. Paul isn't telling them that they must. Paul isn't telling them that they should. He is as much as saying, allow this to be in you. As if we are willing and we choose, we can as well have the mind of Christ, the same mind of Christ. Allow Christ to control your mind. Now, in our day and age, that sounds a great deal like brainwashing. It sounds a great deal like somebody trying to move in on our territory. And maybe it is in a way. But we're so acutely aware of this thing called rights, especially my rights or our rights. But the problem with the language of rights is that most of the time We don't notice when somebody is losing their rights, their right to life, their right to good health care, their right to something to eat, or decent shelter, or decent employment, their right to do what they want to do. We don't notice these things unless they're being taken away from us. We don't notice how rights are taken from others nearly as much as we notice when rights are taken from us. And we're not nearly as passionate about the rights of others as we are about the rights of ourselves. Jesus had more rights than any of us will ever have. He had the right to converse with God and to be in God's presence without any shame, without any apology, without any diminishment of his glory. He had the right. He had the right. And he set it aside. Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, that you allow God to have your whole life, all of it, regardless of what the hindrance, the difficulty, or the trouble may be. That is the mind that was in Christ. The other mind that was in Christ extended one step further. Not only did he give up all right to his status, he thought and he believed that this was absolutely the best thing in the world to do. That it was impossible to do anything else. That in so doing, this was not the end of his life as he knew it. The end of all privilege as he had experienced it. But was an extension and an expression of life as it should be. And life as what it was supposed to become, not a grasping and holding on and holding back, but a full scale dive off the cliff into what life was to be. We don't begrudge God's invitation to live in us and us in Him, because we know, don't we, that it is the best place to be. We know that giving up all rights to our life and giving them over to God does not make us worse or less. It makes us better than we could have been without it. More loving, more holy, more joyful, more at peace. And if this is so, and if you believe so, then there is only one response. If you are to have the same mind as Jesus Christ, then you too, and I along with you, will serve with the same openness and unselfishness and love that Christ served us and served God. And here we need to make a distinction. It is not for you and I to repeat what Jesus has done on the cross. There is no need for us to repeat what Jesus has done on the cross. And there is no way that our death on a cross would do for the world what Jesus' death did for you and I and the world. Your death does not save other people like Jesus' death. But your life given as the same mind, with the same mind of Christ, does save other people. Because then you become an example and a presence and a voice for the God who loves each and every person and who seeks to save and who did indeed die for every single person. And if we believe that God so works in us in this way, as did Paul and John and Peter and all the early apostles and the New Testament attesting to it all along, if we don't serve God with this kind of openness and this kind of obedience, how will anyone truly know the God who has saved them through Christ? And so the invitation today is to think very deeply about your attitudes and your thoughts and your actions and see in them how your mind is of the same mind of Christ. And depending on what you see there, first, do not despair, because this is a loving God who seeks to enter your life. It is a God that you have already welcomed many times before, and you will welcome many times again. But begin to live with a realization that you have chosen God and that it is the best place for you to be, not only now but for eternity, and that you will serve God and God's love in each and everything you do and you say and you plan and you prepare. And see how that life might look as you go from one faithfulness to a greater faithfulness. It's one thing to have to correct what is wrong. We seem in our culture and in our churches to be extremely adept about noticing what's wrong. But maybe, just maybe, it's not so much about what's wrong, but about noticing what's right and emphasizing that. Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Amen.